So if you're passive, start living. It's not ho-hum. It's not dull. It's not boring. It's not routine. What will be, will have a mindset. Living is an activity. It is moving. It is ever bringing life. And that's important because of the fact that if we check our daily lives, are we really living? Another thing I want to say is living is a force. It's an energy. It's something that's on the move. It's not a river that's not turned into a swamp. It's something, a river always is moving. Always is moving. I'm not talking about not being at rest, but I'm talking about every day we need to get up and live. Hope in that scripture is addressed in this scripture as living power. It's not cold, it's not dead, it's not happenstance. Hope is not happenstance. Hope is a force, it's a power, amen? But hope is also an earnest anticipation, expectation, a confidence, a belief, a fortified trust, optimistic mindset. It is not a mere form or speculation or sentiment or a movement towards a spiritual life of godlessness. Hope is a force that should drive us always to the kingdom of God and to his power. Amen. See, all this is contingent on one thing, and I want us to say, because I'm going to talk about hope today, but I'm also going to talk about faith. Because living is an activity, and it all hope is all contingent and protected on the power of God through faith. And what's happening in the church today is that we are trying to have faith without the substance. And that's what I want to address today. There are three areas that are interconnected and absolutely will determine your lifestyle. It will determine your quality of spiritual life, and it will govern one's relationship with the Lord. And those three words are living, hope, and faith. All these are interconnected. One does not exist without the other. You can't have hope if it's not living. Amen? And you can't have faith without hope. 1 Timothy 4:10 in New American Standard says this, "For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially believers." And Mo was talking about that. What is our focus? Chris was talking about it. What is our focus? What are we fixing our hope on? And that's what we want to talk about, because you see, in the church today, we say we fixed our hope on God, but then the evidence thereof of our lives does not necessarily depict on our hope is in Christ. Amen? I'm going to meddle a little bit, so just hang in there. Fixing our hope on the walking dead. Now, what do I mean by walking dead? Men who aren't saved are walking dead. Amen? Fixing our hope on the walking dead. Fixing our hope on man's systems, government. God help us. Stop putting your hope in the government, because they're only going to do two things, destroy you and control you. That's it. Amen? Our hope should never be in the government of mankind. Let me qualify that. Amen? Or the forces of culture. For if we put our hope in these areas, particularly the forces of culture, there will be failure, destruction, depression, and the dismantling of your system of faith. That's what anything outside of God you put your hope in, it will dismantle the very essence of your belief system. It is designed to do that. Our government, even to this day, is designed to destroy your faith. Destroy it. Depend on me. Don't depend on God. Are you with me? Currently, the disciples of Christ have slipped into and been manipulated to rely on what is currently in front of them or what they can see or touch. And that's where we've been reduced to. The reality of it is, and I love cell phones, and I love computers, and I love technology, but it has forced us into a reality, if I can't see and touch it, it doesn't exist. And anything in the kingdom of God, in order for you to obtain it, amen, you must have hope. Romans, by the way, I'm not using any new scriptures. They're just scriptures that we've used all along, right along in our lives. Romans 8, 24 and 25, it says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what they see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait, amen, for it with patience. There's something that hope, if it's not instantly gratified in our culture today, it doesn't at work. And it's something that we need to understand that what God has called us to, you might not see right away, but we walk in it in hope of what he has told us that he will do. I believe, and I really believe this, and I'm seeing it more and more, I believe that we are facing and confronted with a major faith problem. Yes, I chose that to faith. We are confronted with a major faith problem within the body of Christ. Faith. What do we really believe? And what's the substance of what we believe in? I think we need to stop running down the road and start taking an appraisal of exactly what does our lives look like. When I see my brother, I see one thing, but when I see him Monday morning, will I see the same thing? It's easy to be who you're supposed to be in church. Many of us have come to a negative. And this is what we're facing with. That's not my point of the message, but listen to me. Many have succumbed to a negative, depressive, fear, and destructive, and listening to and succumbed to a negative, destructive narrative that has been propagated by the media, by government, by conspiracy theories across our country with no basis. How many of us will believe a conspiracy theory before we believe the Word of God? Now, I'm going to meddle because this is important, because where we're going, Moe's right on where we're going, is that we're going to need to see hope activated and living in our lives, because hope will produce the faith we need to be the kingdom people that God has called us to be. Amen? And so we need to not rely on and not succumb to the negative opinions, particularly of the conspiracy, particularly of some churches, because some churches are saying, fold, just buckle under and just do what you're going to do, or sensitive, or even some pastors that aren't encouraging you to step out in faith and hope and believe like your pastor is. Amen? We're going around the edges and talking about all the thrills of life, but we're not talking about the substance of what it takes to become a disciple of Christ. And that's what God is after. Disciples of Christ have also succumbed to somewhat to people and institutions and entities that are seeking to control our lives. And all we see 24/7 is these entities. And the church is sitting here waiting. Instead of waiting, the Lord's calling us to have hope and have action and move forward. So in seeking the Lord in this faith crisis, that the Lord directed me to a scripture that is so familiar that I will read it to you and then we'll pass over it because I understand all that. It's boring because I understand it. Well, I don't see the results and of the understanding much in the body. And so let's take a look at it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Amen? For faith is assurance of what? Things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Amen. I like the Amplified. It reads this way. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, and the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and conviction of the reality faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to our senses, to the senses. Amen. Living hope is essential to have faith. And that's the part I wanted to share with us today, because you see, many people are trying to build their faith, and you should. But if you don't understand the essence and the root of what faith is based on, it's based on what you hope. In fact, faith is nothing else but the activation of what you're hoping for. And God's looking for a change in the church. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God, or that he is, excuse me, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And talking with this, without faith we cannot please God, but yet what is the substance of us building our hope? What are we placing our hope in? And I think that's something we all have to face. I've had to face it. What are we hoping in? And many of us got a little sidelined in the last year and a half, 2 years, because COVID has upset everything, where we've actually been challenged with our hope. Why hope? Because we can't do anything. We can't go anywhere. The essence of our hope is that we're placing it and being forced to place it in places that will produce no life. Amen? And I think God is after something. See, without living hope, faith cannot exist, which in the end will undo and change your entire belief system. And so why is this important? Because of the fact that our living hope, what I hope in, must produce a faith, because without faith, I cannot please God. And I hear this because a lot of us want to have revival. How many want to see revival? Chris, you're right on with your prayer, brother. I'm one of those that call the fire of God and that type of thing, you know, and I believe we need to do that. But placing hope in something else but God will never do that. And I say this because of the fact I'm going somewhere with this, just hang in with me, because a lot of times that we are declaring something in our lives, and our lives do not depict what we're declaring. So you all clap. I love that song on hope. And we all clap, and we all get excited. But when we go home, church, and you face your family, or you go to work the next morning, where is your hope really placed? Or when you watch the news and your heart sinks a mile away to see the degradation and the destruction of what we believe, where is your hope placed? Is it placed that maybe we'll get a new president and he'll change everything? No. Or maybe we get new Congress, they'll change everything. No. They will only do differently what they are doing now to you. See, if you place your hope in mankind, you will be let down, disappointed, led astray, and your faith will not have substance to stand. How many of us want really faith to bring revival? You see, we are maintained by the power of God, right? Come on. Through what? Through faith. And I kind of laughed at the Lord, because when I preach messages on faith, it's like hitting a stone wall. Okay, people don't want like messages on faith because it challenges them. Okay, it makes them feel that I'm not measuring up. Okay, and so the Lord kind of coming to you on the back door here, because you see, without hope, you can't have faith. Amen? In fact, what we're dealing with, and I just want to say this to you, is that our hope in the church today has been turned into wishful thinking. It's passive. I hope. Hope for what? God to come bail you out, or hope that you'll have the strength and the guts and the backbone to stand up to whatever you're facing in the name of Jesus, in faith, in hope that God hears your word, you believe in the word of God, I'm placing my hope in you, and I'm going to conquer that. Instead of waiting for God to come conquer it for me. And there's a mindset, because I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that, and my hope is in the sovereign God, all right? But my hope is contingent on the level of what I want to obey and place my hope in the Word of God. So my hope is not in man, it's in Jesus, and it's in this. And if this says to do something, my hope is I'm going to do it, and I don't care what I see results. Because you see, instant gratification is not always the way of God. Almost never. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit. How do we get this hope? How do we build hope? What builds hope and activities and activates living hope? What builds it? What activates living hope? What is it that we can do every day to check out whether we have hope or not? And I can tell you, just by walking to a church service, and I'm getting to my end before I get there, but I want to say this to you. I listen to words of what people are saying, and then I hear them say, I have hope. There's something not right here. If I'm talking about the degradation of government instead of the victory of the kingdom, my hope is in the wrong place. Amen? So I want to talk about, I put here, point of focus. What is the point of focus? If in order to have hope, what do I focus on? If in order for me to believe something, what do I focus on? Because you see, a lot of the lost and the people in the world are those who don't really trust the church, yeah, is because they've seen us talk hope, talk faith, speak faith, and then we live a life that doesn't even match up to either of those, and they say hypocrites. And God's saying, I want my church, if you say you have hope, I want you to believe beyond end. And I almost did something, Pastor Mark. In fact, I got the books in my office. I almost brought two books out. I have books called The Fox Book of Martyrs. And then I have a recent one. There's a martyr ministry, and I have a recent one. And the Lord said, contained within those pages of the martyrs, are you listening to me? They never lost their hope. And they never lost their faith. Stephen's faith was empowered as they stoned him. And so we become, you see, we look at our hope as wishful thinking. It's squashy. It has no substance. It's almost witchcraft. Because I'm hoping somebody's going to come do something for me. When God says, "Put your trust and cast your cares upon me." And so, what are some of the things? I'm going to give you some really basic scriptures. Hang in there. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own. Now, we read that scripture. I know that. Seek the love and the kingdom of God first. But you see, if I seek God's kingdom first, I'm building hope. But if I worry about the worries of today, I'm destroying hope. I will never have the faith to conquer what God's called me to do if I'm focusing on my problems of today. In fact, I think my Bible says if you cast all your cares, and the Bible also says in prayer, is that he knows, in Matthew 6, he says he knows your need before it even arises. He knows what you need. And so seeking first the kingdom of God is one, is that the kingdom of God is power, it's might, it's authority. Seek that first. And in all that, I place my hope in Jesus Christ. You see, one seeks in the kingdom of God, then all uncertainty leaves. I want you to hear me now. That was a good testimony this morning. Because you see, if you're focused on the Word of God, you focus on the kingdom of God. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, uncertainty will leave. Upheaval will disappear. Fear cannot take root, and hope overrules darkness. And so if we understand that, that seek first the kingdom of God, if you're in a situation, how many of you got some problems in your life? You're not alive if you don't. You see, seeking God in the midst of my problem is recognizing He's in charge of my life. And so I reach for the hand of God in the midst of my problem does not, or my situation, or my, or whatever. Some of you look at some pretty chaotic things. My wife and I have had an interesting year this year, I won't go through it. But we've had some real heart-wrenching challenges this year. And the more we reach into those challenges, the more we see the hand of God coming with grace and mercy and love and hope. Seek first God. Ask Him first. Amen? And if you'll do that, I almost guarantee you pastor's counseling will probably be cut in half. Just that simple thing. What is it you want from me, God? Because I'm going to trust you seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen? If you seek first, you build hope. If you worry with anxiety, you destroy hope. And then you have no avenue to create the faith that you need to get through your challenge. Romans 12:2, we all know this one, this is good. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If you are conformed to this world, you are setting yourself up to destroy your hope and have no faith. See, if you're conformed to a worldly system, faith and hope cannot exist. So why are we one foot in the world and one foot out? If we know the truth, why don't we just be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Because when you're transformed, what does that do? It builds hope. Because I can't be transforming God without new hope in Him. I can't see the essence of who God is without hope in Him. And then you take all that hope and you're being renewed in your mind, and your hope is being renewed, and all of a sudden there's an activation in your life of expectation of God in faith to do a miracle in your life. How many of you want to see revival? And I know I asked this before, okay? All right? But how many of us really, really have lost hope that that's ever going to happen? Come on. I came here 1980. I was sent here with a prophetic word, go and declare the revival in New England. And I can tell you, through the miracle of God, I've gone throughout every state in New England, just about every major city and town, because I was employed by CBN as a director. We've gone all over the place. We've preached in many churches. And I can tell you, my hope for revival is greater today than it was when I came here. Because I don't put my hope in church. That will let you down. Trust me. I didn't say don't come to church. Don't put your hope in church. Amen? Here's one. Because some of you are to this day sitting in this room suffering. All right, listen to me now. I love you, Pastor. Do not put your hope in Pastor. He's not God. He's the under-shepherd. Are you with me? Because if you put your hope, I'll put it on me. If those who put their hope in me when I was pastoring, they were sorely disappointed. Because every one of us has weaknesses, and every one of us is not perfect. Only God is perfect. So we'll take that excuse away. Amen? So the renewing of your mind is to say, Lord, I'm going to renew my mind, that I'm going to seek your kingdom. I'm going to think about those things which are above. Amen? And you say, well, how can I do that with all the chaos and all this going around? Stop looking at the chaos. Get in your word. come to church and worship, but then take church with you. You see, hope is great today. In about 20 minutes, then we're going to be challenged. Because it's easy to sing. I love that song on hope. I just, you know, boy, you couldn't have got more confirmation. And I'm sitting there saying, I love that song. What a confirmation, Lord. And the Lord kind of said, yeah, but they got to carry it tomorrow morning. Your boss is not your God. Now, if you have hope in God, you'll treat your boss right. Oh, we'll go on and we'll play with that. Philippians 4:8. Here's another method, church, of simply creating hope in your heart. And not focusing on your stuff. Is that all right? Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. How many of you spent more time watching the news of the degradation and evil out there than you have thinking about the things above? How many of us? I got caught up in it. I'm not going to lie to you, I did. I got caught up in all that nonsense. And started getting angry and mad, speaking at the television. One time I want to throw something at the television. What's up with this? And you're a prophet of God? Don't think you can't get caught up if your hope is not placed in the right place. Because if you are being inundated day in and day out, and there's not a person that doesn't own a cell phone that is not being programmed, inundated, and manipulated by that phone to think a certain way. And you don't have to read the articles, because most of us don't. We read the headlines. And if you find out the headlines, a lot of times it isn't even the truth. Are you with me? And so if there's anything excellent, let's think about that. What's good in your life? When you go home with your family tonight, you want to build home, you want to build faith, you want to see your family grow, then why don't we meditate on the good things in my family life? Why don't I look at my wife and meditate on the good things of my wife? Why don't I stop focusing on the things that bug me? She never bugs me, so don't worry about that. But I'm saying to you is, what is the point of our focus? What are we looking at? Because see, what you look at is coming into your spirit, your soul, and your mind. And then you want to come and have hope that we have revival when you haven't even got a hope enough to get yourself to church? God's after something. A lot of people say revival's coming. I'm going to tell you something right. It's here now. The reason nobody sees it is because you're looking at what's in the natural. You're not looking in the spiritual. God's church is all right with him. Oh, what do you mean? The church is a mess. You didn't hear what I said. God's church is all right with him. It might not be what we want, but where's our hope? In what we see or what God said he'll do? We need to change our focus. Psalms 119, 105. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many see darkness in the world today? You're all afraid to raise your hand now. Because I'm going to tell you something. We're living and walking in darkness, and if we're living and walking in darkness, and we're continuing to deal with darkness in our life, beloved, that scripture needs to come alive to you, because I don't know about you, but the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. And any light of the lamp unto my feet will do away with all darkness that is facing me and that I'm walking. My hope is not in what I'm seeing in front of me. My hope is that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He lights it up. I'm not worried about darkness. I'm not worried about the government. He is light. And can we not now release light into the world instead of perpetuating darkness. God's after something, church. He wants us. And so that was a point of focus. I'm going to just touch on the other thing because it's extremely important. Because if you're focused on the right thing, you'll take care of what I'm going to talk about. And the last point, all I have time for, is that the point of conversation. Say conversation. How many of you know that words have power? And you are the sum total of the words that you speak. I'll repeat that. You are the sum total of the words that you speak. Because words are nothing else but manifestation of your thoughts. Amen? And it's very, very important for you to understand that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, for every creature of God is good. Say good. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is what? Sanctified by the word of God and prayer. There's the word of God and prayer Mo's talking about. Amen. We're talking about it this morning. Sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished by what? In the words, amen, of faith. And of the good doctrine, say good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane old wives' tables and exercise yourself toward godliness. The words of our mouth need to be holy and righteous unto the Lord. And we get carried away in conversations, and I'm going to touch on something before I close. Because you see, the conversations you have determines the atmosphere. If you come to this church service and you're negative and you're down and all you want to talk about is the negative rotten world we're in and everything is going wrong and my God, I don't know what's going on in Washington. Well, but you're at a worship service. Why are you talking about that? Are you hearing me? I'm guilty. I did it for a while until I got slapped up by the Lord. Because what we are doing is we're bringing the degradation into the holy righteousness of a place that's supposed to be holy and sanctified to worship. Well, I never thought about it that way. That's right. We're bringing the filth of the world into the sanctuary that is meant to be sanctified for the worship of the Most High God. Well, that's heavy. God wants more from us. And so so we're sanctifying his word in prayer, and they're being good ministers of Christ, nourished by the words of faith. How many of us nourishing each other by the words of faith? When we gather together, are we talking about what's wrong in life, or are we talking about nourishing our faith? Am I building your faith, or am I coming along with you in all our degradation that we have in the world? Am I going to agree with the world is crumbling, or am I going to talk about building the nourishment of my faith? Well, you can't stick your head in the sand, Pastor. You know, come on. You know, let's face the world around there. No, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. I'm saying don't let what you're looking at inside you. And let the importance of the awesomeness of God be more important than discussing a stupid government that's out to destroy you. God's here to bring life. But yet we focus on what is death. That's why living, say living, hope is essential. It's a power, it's a force. It's one of the most powerful forces that absolutely puts fear in every individual that is trying to bring a system of government, communism, socialism. They actually, and all around the world, okay, the one thing they fear is a people who have their hope in Christ and the expectation to fulfill their faith in what God called them to do. Why are they scared of that? And why have they spent so much time programming the body of Christ? It's because when you have a hope in Christ and your faith is flowing in him, you are unstoppable. You cannot be stopped. There's nothing you can't do. In fact, my Bible says, I don't know about yours, but my Bible says in Christ Jesus I can do all things. Can we start believing the Word of God? Question is here, in the last few moments I have, does the words we speak build hope? In exchange, will nourish faith to those who hear our words. To everything I'm saying to someone, am I building hope? And in turn, nourishing their faith to be something better in God? Or am I bringing them down because I don't want to spend the time to become the person of God that I'm supposed to, so I'm going to bring everybody else down to my level so I'm comfortable and I'm not convicted anymore? Because that's what the body of Christ does. If I find two or three people on fire for God, okay, what we end up doing is we pull them down to our level so we don't feel guilty. Instead of rising up. Instead of rising up. I said, instead of rising up. Amen? Or do the words we speak reflect profane, old cliches, religious talk? Or do we just repeat the words of indoctrination of the government news media? Or do we start to move forward to a godless conversation or a godless life? And that's what's been programmed, and that's what's got to change. We sing this hope, and we talked about Mo and what she's saying. Amen. He is riding, Mo. And he's looking for the saints that will say, my hope is in Christ. Amen. God is good. Philippians 4:8, New American Standard. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. Whoops. Wait a minute. I read that to you. Amen. Sorry about that. So I want us to understand that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart is acceptable in God's sight. When I'm talking to Keith, is my words acceptable? Am I building you up? Am I confirming you? Or am I bringing you down to my problems so I can share my problems with you? And these are areas that God wants us to work on. He wants us to bring our faith. Amen? He wants to build hope. Matthew 12:34 says, and this is Jesus' response, you blood vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Our conversations, are they a hope? Or are they joining all the rest of the world of this down, depressed, fear? COVID. You can't turn the media on without COVID. You can't go anywhere without COVID. You can't even do anything without COVID. It's put fear, separation. I can't even talk to my brother because you don't wear a mask, or you do wear a mask. It has changed, and I'm not up for either one. It doesn't make a difference. But the key the Lord wants us to understand is our hope and our words need to be encouraging. Yes, we're dealing with COVID. I lost my sister to COVID. Yes, we're dealing with COVID. But I'm not going to get down in the negative. Amen. God can take care of all this. And how many of us are declaring during COVID that God is in charge and God will heal this thing because this is a plague and God takes all plagues away? Come on, how many of us have that mindset? Or do we go out looking and worrying and wondering who's going to say what? No, I'm walking out in the faith of Christ. No, I'm not saying be stupid. I mean, you got to take care of things. But my faith is not in when I'm not going to get COVID. My faith is in Christ that he's not going to. Are you with me? God is good. Oh, Lord. Heart filled with uplifting. How many of us, our hearts are being filled with uplifting? Come on. encouragement, enlightenment. Hope changes the atmosphere. We ought to be a church of hope, a church of faith. People will flock here because, man, everywhere else in the world is terrible, but I walk into that house and all I feel is hope. And I leave there with faith. I want to go to that place. Because you see, where there is living hope, nourishes and produces faith, signs, wonders, and miracles will follow for those who believe. There are many more elements and methods available to secure, safeguard, and establish one's hope, which can be searched out in the Word of God. And there's your challenge right there. Okay, I don't have to worry about finding something that has hope in it. I find hope in every page of this book. Every page. And we can tell by listening to people who have been in this book, because we'll talk about this instead of the doctrine of the world. Is that too hard? Is that okay? See, one needs to embrace this truth. And you got to understand something, because I'm all about things from the inside out. So why don't we stop looking for hope everywhere? Because you're not going to find it. Or you're going to find wishful thinking. You're going to find all kinds of remedies, 15 steps to do this and 5 steps to do that and sell 14,000 books because you just gave 4 steps on how to do whatever. And we neglect as Christians the one thing that we never have to look for hope. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible. And the Bible says, to them God will make known what are the mysteries of the glory of... I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. To them God will make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Hope is in you. Because the scripture says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, where do I find hope? God's already given it to you. Already. Some of you crying out because you have no hope. Oh, I have hope in Jesus. Well, do you have hope in your problem? You see, there's areas that we segment in our lives. I have hope, but I don't know. I have no hope my finances are ever going to change. I have no hope whatever my problem is going to go away. I keep looking at my problem and it's not going away. I said it's not going away. I hope it goes away someday. I have faith I'm going to make it go away. Well, if you have no hope, you have no faith to make it go away. But if I look at my problem, I have hope in my deliverer. If I need healing, I have hope in my healer. I have hope in my, if I need prosperity, I have hope in Jehovah Jireh. I have hope in God. And that should transcend every area of my life. And I say, even when we go home, make your houses a place of hope. If you have a marriage that's on the rocks, it's because you have no hope. It's as simple as that. To have faith to make it work. Well, I'm going to get out of this thing. No, get a hold of your hope that Christ put you together and then walk out your faith with the hope as your substance of things hoped for. One of the reasons there is a major faith crisis in America is the disciples of Christ, local church fellowships, and a body of Christ have misplaced the appropriation, trust, and reliance and expectation of their hope on other ungodly sources other than God, His kingdom, His word, His covenant, His promises. Church, I'm telling you, if you want to activate hope in your life, you need to trust God. Now, this all sounds like surfing. No, you got to work it out. We've had to work it out. You got to work it out. It's part of your job as a Christian to work out. I'm going to maintain my hope. Well, God will make me hopeful. No, that's not what the word says. You got to work at it. You're such a person of faith. We worked at it. 50 years we've been doing this thing. We worked at it. There are areas in my life, I've said this before, I don't need faith. Why? Because I have relationship with Christ. Amen. Speaking to the disciples about this subject. Amen. Most of the time, we'll be denied. I have hope. I'm honestly asking you today before Holy Spirit, in every area in your life, where's your hope? Because we walk up to each other and we say, hey, you got hope there? Oh, praise God, got it. I got faith. I'm believing for everything. And 3 days later, we can't find you. That's not relationship. That's fear. The best thing we could ever do is if someone, and when you come to church, particularly your pastor preaches this all the time. If you come to church and you have no hope, my God, go find someone and say, I got no hope. Good, brother. Come on. We're going to go in there and we're going to pray. And I'm going to stand with you until I get some hope inside of you. I'm going to preach it to you. I'm going to speak it to you. I'm going to give you the word of God. I'm not going to let you stay in a state of hopelessness. It's our responsibility. Not his. Are you with me? I know this is getting tough, but we got some stuff ahead of us. And I refuse to look at it as a catastrophe. I refuse to look at the degradation. I refuse to look at all the problems that are coming. I refuse to look at it without looking at my Lord Jesus Christ and say, whatever comes my way, God, I got the hope. And that is the substance of my belief, that I, through faith, can walk through anything. Got to become a church of hope, a church of faith. Amen. So I will close with this. Speaking to disciples in Christ, and most Avis, we will talk about hope, and most people will refute it. If you say you're lacking hope, oh, you're wrong. Or you refute it. Or we'll justify whatever comes to our being to make excuse for the lack of hope. Because you see, hope is living inside you. It's a force. It's a power. It's an unstoppable force. Can you hear me? It's not some wimpy thing where I hope I'm going to make it. By God's grace, I cannot be stopped. By God's grace, this will be a revival house. I will accept nothing less. Luke 6:44 says, for each tree is known by its fruit. For the men do not gather figs from thorns, nor they pick grapes from a briar bush. People come here, they're looking for hope, they don't want figs. When you come here and we go to a prayer meeting, and I haven't been to your prayer meeting, so I don't know what goes on. So I can say this. If you're praying about survival of a government, you got no hope. If you're praying about, oh, I don't know about COVID's going to happen, you got no hope. Instead of praying down the God of healing, the God of deliverance, praying down the kingdom of God, praying down all that God is, exercising the word, speaking forth the word of God in truth. Amen. That's what a prayer meeting has got to be. We're not there, oh, my hand, I got to help my, would you put salve on my problems? My God knows your problem before you went to prayer meeting. This is a 79-year-old man who's walking with the Lord 50 talking to you. So let me close with this. In closing words, one speaks on the subject matter. One speaks on the words that they speak, the words that come out of their mouth, and the subject matter that forms those words. Words come out of our mouth, and the subject matter that forms those words are indicative to the degree, depth, and vitality of one's hope and the construction and strength of one's faith. We'll drive and develop the conversation even before church services. I'm a big sports fan, man, and the Patriots are going to win today. Got a new quarterback. We're going to do all right. Maybe. But that ought not be the topic of conversation before a prayer meeting. Am I rattling people? Then good. Because when we come to church, this altar should be about prayer, not government, COVID, negative, masks, shots, no shots. Who cares? Are you with me? Is this all right? Now, I said something earlier that Pastor Mark is just raging in my spirit, is that when we bring all this conversation negativeness into the church sanctuary, we're defying the holy atmosphere of worship. I got to write about that. Because we want to see worship. How many want to worship the angels? Whew. Amen. So in closing, let's make sure that we are always bringing living hope of our God and his kingdom to everyone we speak to. Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, for you shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Thank you for hearing me today. I hope that you will hear and go home and say, Lord, what is it? Check your conversations. When we come to church, are we talking about power, God, kingdom, or are we talking about the world, junk, and garbage? Let's all stand on our feet. Before I turn this over to Pastor Mark, if you're lacking hope right now in your life, and you want to be honest about it, or if your conversations are everything else but the kingdom of God, there's evidence that you lack hope. I want you to raise your hand. Just think a minute, and then just raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. Are you lacking hope? Has your faith faltered? Do you believe for the miraculous? Do you believe the kingdom of God is coming? Amen? Will you accept the kingdom of God that comes? Do we need an infusion of hope in our lives? A new anointing of faith and hope for a gift. Faith is a gift. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. An infusion of hope and faith in the hearts of us, every one of us, in the hearts of your people. Lord, turn this thing around where the point of our focus and the content of our words will speak only of the hope in Christ Jesus. Baptize us this day with hope and faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, church, hope doesn't mean that you don't face difficult things. Just one more quick update. Most of you saw Elena on Monday basically cut the end of her toe off. Our dining room bench fell on the end of her toe, and that's our little two-year-old. We spent all day at UConn on Monday, 9 hours at UConn, and It's scary. Stuff happens. Life comes at us. It's scary. But what's behind all that, those emotions that come, I mean, when they sedated her, it was rough because she's looking at me going, Daddy, save me, right? Like, why are you letting them do this to me, you know? And you're not quite sure how it's going to work out, right? It was a pretty significant toe injury. But underneath all of it is I know the God that I serve. And no matter what happens, no matter what happens in that particular circumstance, God works all things together for good. We quote that all the time, but do we believe it? That's what Pastor L's talking about today. Do I believe it? He doesn't say when. He doesn't say how long. He says he will. Right? So all the stuff in our lives that is like in chaos right now, in turmoil, we don't know what's going to happen. What we do know is that God is working. Amen? So Lord, in Jesus' name, we just bless your people this morning. Lord, help us this week, God. Today as we go home, as we ponder, as we have lunch with our families and loved ones, God, as we enjoy the day, as we go back to work tomorrow, Father, help us to understand hope, the kingdom hope that's given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Facebook and YouTube, bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll be here on Wednesday, 7 o'clock for prayer. You're all welcome to come. Amen. Oh, yes. Ladies, tickets are on sale in the lobby with Miss Kathy Gallagher. So if you'd like to go to the ladies' tea in a few weeks, please grab a ticket. Amen.